Amen.
All right, here we go. You're on.
All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
That last song that played, you know, Come Let Us Adore Him. We are so fortunate in this country, huh? That we can get together like this and praise God, enjoy each other's company. You know how many countries would love this? Lots. And we have it, and we pray that God will continue to give it to us, because it's just good. Hi, everybody on Zoom. I got dressed today. I got my orders. Get dressed. Stand straight. Keep your hands out of your pockets. Speak clearly. So, I'll do my best. My hand keeps wanting to do it. All right, today's message, this is one that I've probably been thinking about for 6 months or so, and I was thinking about it for myself, and where I was. So my prayer today is that God would be glorified in this message, and that I could speak it clearly to everybody. We're going to start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And I'm using the NIV, I don't know. So it's a few of the words don't match. That's okay. As far as in there, in the way it's stated. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Right? You become a believer. Holy Spirit resides in you. I was listening to it. Message this week, and I have a lot of messages about this, but you know, Mary carried the Lord Jesus Christ in her for 9 months, right? We have the Spirit. We carry the Lord in us now for the rest of our lives. Keep that in mind. The Spirit's not just hanging out in there not doing anything. We're going to talk about that. We have the Spirit. We have the promise through the Word that the Spirit is in us. And at the end of this verse, it says, therefore, honor God with your body. What does that mean, honoring God with your body? What does that look like? How do you do that? Honor God with your body. Like I said, I've been a Christian now for 40 years. And I still fall short in so many ways. I feel like I should be further along. I'm just not there yet. I'm not saying that to put myself down. Maybe some of you feel that way. It's just I fall short. Let me give you an example. I'm not trying to beat myself up here or anything like that, because I know there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Most mornings I get up, I read my Bible, I pray, I ask the Lord to use me and help me not to sin against Him that day. And to use me. So, you know, so far so good, right? Looking good. I'm sure a lot of you do the same. My day begins. Go outside, go downtown, go to work, whatever. A couple hours later, I'm sinning. Sinning into my mouth. I don't have some dark, deep secret. Any kind of disobedience to God's law is sin, right? We know that. We can sin in many ways, right? We sin in our flesh, in our minds, in our hearts. By our speech. A lot of ways we can sin. And we're believers. And we've been born again. This is what we're talking to believers today. Remember, just an example. Remember what Jesus said about adultery for men? If you look at a woman in a long way and with lust in your eyes, you've already committed adultery. In your heart, he said. So there's a lot of ways to do sins. Throughout our lives, even as believers, we continue to sin. I know I do. And I struggle with that. The day that you don't feel something inside when you sin, there's a problem. There's a problem. Especially with the spirit that lives inside of you, you know? I'm not trying to be negative. I find sometimes as Christians, we think that really big sin is like, you know, murder. We know that thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not do this and that. Those are big sins, we think. But we think like gossip, well, you know, that's a little sin. God looks at murder and he's like, yeah, that's but sin down there. But it's all disobedience, right? It's all going against God's law, and it is sin. Disobedience, you know, doesn't reflect Christ at all. And we as believers are supposed to try more and more to reflect Christ. Sometimes we just, even we call sin a mistake. It just sounds better than calling it sin. Anyway. Let's go to James chapter 3, verse 2. James says it. James, the book of James, he calls it like it is in so many ways. In chapter 3, verse 2, he says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. So, yeah, we all stumble, we all fall. Here he's speaking, he's talking about our tongue. And it's easy to sin with our tongue. Can we stop sinning as believers? Yes, I know as believers, we're forgiven for our sins, right? Past, present, and future. And that's not what I'm talking about. We are forgiven. So does that mean we're supposed to, doesn't matter, we can continue sin? Because, hey, we're forgiven for it. In one of my messages, I was listening, and John MacArthur, and this young student came up to him, college kid, and he asked him, he said, I've been a believer for a while now. When am I going to stop sinning? When am I going to stop sinning? I know everything about Christ. I read his word. I know it. What's going on? Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Paul here, speaking again to believers. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Because we're saved by grace, right? And then he says, no way, by no means. I think it's another verse that shall it never be. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We died to sin. Born again, believers, forgiven. First Thessalonians. Chapter 5. It's another one. We're going to go through a few verses today just to make the point. We're going to talk about sin a little bit just to make the point. First Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll start with verse 22. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He'll do it. May the Lord, may the God of peace sanctify you through and through. Sanctify. May He set you apart. May He declare you. What's that word, sanctify? Set you apart from the non-believer. Set you apart from sin. Declare you holy. Another meaning. May He consecrate you. May you really, you know, may the Spirit really work in you. Avoid every kind of evil, He said. Sanctify. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you have questions, comments, hold them to the end. More than glad to hear about it. Just, I read notes, and that's where I'm at as far as teaching goes. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. We're talking about being sanctified today. What does that mean, being sanctified? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, sorry, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. This is the way we're supposed to live, right? This is our goal. This is our, to be more Christ-like. So, what is sin? Paul, in the next few verses, we're going to talk a little bit about sin. I struggle to, in some ways, for whatever reasons, to read these verses. Because we know them, but we need to remind ourselves of what sin is. So that we know not to walk in that manner. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll go from verses 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Here Paul is speaking about sin to the Corinthians. But again, he's speaking to believers. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty clear. And he says, and that is what some of you were. I can relate. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, right? Through what Christ did on the cross, He took our sins, died for them. We've been made righteous. We are justified. And we are sanctified because of what He did. That is what some of you were. That's the old man, but you were washed. You were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. The Spirit, remember, that lives in us. The Spirit that's just not just sitting around waiting for the Lord to return. The Spirit that is constantly working in us. You were sanctified, set apart. You were declared holy. I don't think I gave this one to Kelly and thing, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about other sins. Just so, one more. We know what sins are, but he's talking again to believers, and he's saying, in 2 Corinthians, he's talking to believers in Corinth, and he says, I'm afraid when I come to you, I'm going to find quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, slander, gossip, arrogance. He said, I'm worried I'm going to find all these things in you. You who call yourself believers, you who are getting together every day. So we know what sin is. We think, you know, gossip's down here, murder's up here sometimes. And, you know, through a daily walk, oh, I made a mistake. So, sanctification, set apart, holiness. It's actually one of the fruits of salvation. Sanctification, sanctify. What does it mean, sanctification? It is that process, it's that transforming process by which God's people shed their sinful nature and grow to reflect Christ more, day by day. It's that transforming process, sanctification. If you belong to Christ, if you're born again, you're undergoing that process of sanctification right now. It's a vital part of every believer's life. Although a sinner is forgiven and the sinner is made righteous and he's justified through faith in Jesus Christ, he continues to sin. You're righteous and you're a sinner. Forgiven, but still a sinner. It is the work of the Spirit that lives in you when you become a believer that is carrying out God's plan to transform you into His Son's perfect image. That's what the Spirit is doing. Transferring you into the image of Christ, day by day. Sanctification is a slow process in the life. You don't just become perfect in one day. I mean, every day you're being sanctified or using sanctification. It never ends until the day that you come to Christ in body and spirit, whether by death or whether Christ returns. Until that day, you are continually working towards sanctification. You're continually working to disconnect yourself from sin. Because like James said, we all fall short in many ways. There is not, I don't think there's a perfect man yet. As long as you're here, you're forgiven everything, but you're not perfect in Christ. You may be perfect in the way that you're forgiven and all of that, but from day to day, like James says, we're not perfect. At least I know I don't. You know, I'm not. There's still a battle going on inside of us. You can say it's from the old, between the old man and the new man, and that's not quite accurate, but that's that battle of sin. It's between the flesh and the spirit is really where the battle is. Our fallen nature and then the spirit we have inside of us. Paul, in Romans, he talks a lot about this. And he's even speaking about himself. Paul, who just, you know, taught so many people about Christ. Let's look at chapter 7. in Romans. We're going to read a few verses, so and there's a lot said in these verses, and we can't cover it all, but we can see Paul talks about that struggle that we're having. Romans chapter 7, we're going to start in 14, and we're going to read through the rest of the chapter. Romans 7, 14. Paul speaking. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, no, let's see, for what I want to do not do, but what I do hate, I do. If I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is a sin that's living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, and I know a lot of us do here do, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is a sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. I know a lot of us do. We delight in God's law. We never get enough of it. But I see another law at work in my members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Answer, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Says, I keep doing the things I don't want to do. I want to do the right things, but a lot of times I don't do them. Because of maybe the evil that's still within me, that sin that's still within me. He's obviously talking about this constant struggle, even Paul, that he has. And he's speaking to it about us, to us too. Every day, like I said, you go out, you want to do good, something happens and you do bad. You get angry, you gossip, you do whatever. This is again where sanctification comes in. It's that daily process of trying to grow in Christ. We'll talk a little bit here about how we do that. So there's a war going on in us. And it's between the flesh and our spirit. Between the old man and the new man. We're going to look at Philippians for a minute. Chapter 2. Here Paul is speaking to the Philippians. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Hey, wait a minute, I thought I got saved with the work of Christ. How can I work out my salvation with fear and trembling? Paul's not talking here about earning your salvation by good works. He's speaking about working hard towards spiritual growth in a believer. And he's also saying that God is working in you to make you the person that he's designed you to be. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is a daily thing too. It's not a one-time thing. As we are believers, we are working it out. We're not working our salvation so that we can, by good works. Paul says in Galatians 4:19, and he's struggling with the bodies, the church bodies that he's trying to develop in different towns, different places. Galatians 4, verse 19, he says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you," being formed in you. We got saved, but we still need to have Christ formed in us. Ongoing process, daily process. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. I know we're going through a few verses here, but Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Paul earlier says, the Lord is saying through Jesus, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters." That's his promise. And then he says, "Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of the reverence for God." This is sanctification. "Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates your body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." Keep working on it daily. Purifying, perfecting our holiness. Sanctification, holiness, it's not accomplished by our will and our actions alone. Because I know you try daily, and sometimes you fall. You need help, the help of the Spirit that lives within you. In the same way that salvation is not earned by good works, sanctification is not accomplished by good works alone. You can't just grit your teeth and say, "Today I'm going to do it." It's a good thing, but you're not going to do it on your own. It is the work of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. But it's more than that too. We have the Spirit, and we just think, "Well, if I do this good, and I do this good, and I do this good, I'm growing in Christ." And that's true. That's true. But you need help. But there's another thing too. I was listening to Charles Stanley a few weeks ago. And he was talking about Michelangelo and the statue that he made. Michelangelo. 17 feet high, 12,500 pounds, this huge, beautiful statue of David. And supposedly, that big stone that David came from was even donated. And people asked him, hey, how did you know that was going to work? That piece. He said, I already saw David in it. He said, but I had to chip away at it till he came out. And that's part of sanctification too. We talked about it with some friends. You know, pain is not always bad. At the time we think it's bad, and we all go through it. But it's God's process of chipping away at us so that we can become the person that we're supposed to be. And the point is, it's not all good works. You have to allow, when you're suffering through something, remember, it's God maybe just forming you in the person that you're supposed to be. He's chipping away at you. All right, so sanctification. How does it come about? What can we do about it? Okay? There's a lot, but I came up with a few things, and there's a lot more, and the Spirit will talk to you about that. But obvious, obedience is a vital part of it. Lord, today, help me to obey your will. Help me not to sin against you, right? The Holy Spirit cultivates Christian character. Each of us bears some responsibility for our spiritual growth. Bible study, prayer, self-discipline. We play a role in sanctification. So some of, you know, obedience, big part. Jesus says in John 14, verse 21, he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Motivation. What's the motivation? To work harder, to be sanctified harder, to become a better believer, to reflect Christ. Because we love to love God. Do you love God? Do you love what he's done for you? That's a good motivation. Not to sin. To work on it daily. Maintaining in spiritual growth. The Word of God. Another way. Read it. John 17:17 says, Paul praying, he says, sanctify them by the truth, Lord. Your word, Lord, your word is truth. If you know the word of God and it's in you, it sanctifies you, it cleanses you, and you know how to walk. You know what is sin, you know what is not sin. God sanctifies us through his word. Just wrapping it up. Sanctification, a daily process. When you wake up in the morning, Lord, help me not to sin against you today, Lord. Help me to reflect more of who you are. Lord, the spirit that is within me, Lord, may it strengthen me today so that I can walk, not in my flesh, Lord, but in my spirit. Teach me, Lord, your ways. Let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us your spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven us of our sins, that we've been made righteous, Lord, that we've been justified, that we're going to be with you someday. Lord, but our prayer today is that we would glorify you, Lord, in the things we say and do, in our actions, Lord, day by day. Help us to reflect you more, Lord, so that we would grow in you, Lord, that we would come to know who you are, Lord, and that the people that surround us would see you in us, Lord God, in order that they might come to know you too, Lord God. So we pray that you would be glorified, Lord. We pray that you would place in us a desire not to sin against you and to walk in your ways, Lord, on a daily basis. We thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation, Lord. That if we sin, Lord, we know we're forgiven. And that we just don't give up. That we continue to press on, Lord, upon us. To press on toward the goal, Lord. That we would continue in the race, Lord, until the day that we meet you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Comments? Questions?
I love that message. Love the message. The biggest hindrance that I see to saying